Let us now do Daf Nun Aleph, and we got up to Lerev Sheshes on the fourth line.
At least I hope we did.
I must tell you the honest truth. I'm sitting here in Finland, and I don't have access to what we did, but I would assume that that would be the normal place to stop. So, yes, the Gemara. Reb Sheshes said yesterday that the case in which we have a Zevach, that is Chomer from Temura, is referring to the El Aharon, not referring to the Par Yom HaKippurim, right? So, according to Reb Sheshes, Adumukin lo be'elo shel Aharon, instead of saying that the case that you want to contrast to Temura is the case of El Aharon, look on the Pesach. Why don't you say that the case is reference to the Korban Pesach itself, which would be better, as Tosis explained, because the Elo Shel Aaron, to call it Stam Zevach, we never find the Elo Shel Aaron referred to as a Zevach. Why, Shenkin, the Korban Pesach is indeed referred to in the Torah as Zevach Pesach. So if you're coming to explain the contrast between Zevach and Temura, it makes a great deal of sense to refer to Korban Pesach and not to El Aaron. So why, therefore, should we say it's referring to the El Aharon? Because, after all, you have all of the chumras that we said Yosem Torah. First of all, it's Docha Shav, right? And it's Docha Tumna. And because, I mean, those, it's both true because it's Zman Kavua. And wherever we have Zman Kavua, you have B'moado, which means that it's Docha Shav and Tumna. And furthermore, since the Korban Yochid, it's Osa Tumur, the Korban Yochidu. So why, therefore, is this not a good contrast, better even than Eilu Shemara? And he says, the Gemara, the reason Reb Sheshes didn't do that is because Kasava, Reb Sheshes holds that Ein Shochatina Pesach Ala Yachid. You cannot check the Korban Pesach if there's only one person that's bringing the Pesach. There need to be at least two individuals that are the owners of the Korban Pesach, and therefore it's not called a Korban Yochid, it's called a Korban of Shutfim. And a Korban Shutfim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, cannot make a Temura, and therefore we didn't want to talk about instead of Elo Shel Aharon, a Korban Pesach, because it wouldn't satisfy the requirement of Osa Temura. Okay, says the Gemara, even if you don't want to say Korban Pesach, it could be Pesach Sheni, but Nuk may be Pesach Sheni. Because then, even according to the Mandi Omar, Rabbi Yehuda and Psochi, who says that it would be a Shutvin, wouldn't make a Temura, he's made that the Pesach Sheni is not a Korban Shutvin, it's about even as a Korban Yochid, even as one person. Answers the Gemara, there's another reason we can't use the Pesach Sheni, because the Pesach Sheni may have the chumrah of being Oisa Temura, but it wouldn't have the chumrah of being brought Petuma, Midachi Tuma. The whole point of a Pesach Sheni is that it's coming in place of the carbon, the original carbon. Certainly that was brought Petuma. That couldn't be brought Petuma because he never wrote. So therefore it would not be Docha Tuma. That's its whole point. Shabbos it would be Docha. But the reason, therefore, that we have to bring a case of more chumur, the Evo Shalarim, is because we're contrasting Asiyas Temura, Tchia Shabbos, and Tchia's Tum, as we'll see. So getting back to the Brisa that we quoted earlier from Temura, where over there Rabbi Meir said that the Korban Pesach is called a Korban Yochid, and according to Rabbi Yaakov, the Korban Chagiga is called a Korban Tzibur. Gemara asks like this. Omar le Ravuna Breder Yeshua the Rav. Vitana, the man the Omar here, that said over the Brisa, who was bringing the Shita of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov, the Gabi the Halachas of Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga. Can you explain to me, why does he refer to the Pesach as a Korban Yochid as opposed to Chagiga? I mean, Lechora, if the reason he calls the Korban Chagiga a Korban Tzibur, is because the Asi Bichnufia, because since the Chagiga is brought during the Regel, and the Korbanos of the Regolim are brought Bichnufia, brought when all of Klal Yisrael is gathered together, Mashain Kain, the Korban Pesach, is that really true? Korban Pesach Nami, Asi Bichnufia, I mean, wouldn't the Pesach also be called a Korban Tzibur in that sense? Yes, said Rav, indeed, but Ika Pesach Sheni. The law is only someone who couldn't bring Pesach Rishon brings Pesach Sheni. And in reference to that, we would call it a Korban Yochid. Omar Le, Sir Rav Huna, the Raider of Yeshua, said that if that's the case, sir, then in Cain, if Rabbi Meir was indeed referring, as you're claiming, to a Pesach Sheni, so then how could he say Peretz Docha Shabbos Atuma? Yedocha the Shabbos was Atuma. I thought the halacha was that Pesach Sheni is not Docha Tuma. And it says Beferish over here that it's Docha Shabbos and Tuma. And you're claiming that's reference Pesach Sheni. Omar Leitz, which Rava answered him, indeed, Pesach Sheni, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, is Docha Tuma because he holds Kiman Diomar Dochi. The Tanya Pesach Sheni Docha to Shabbos Shemini Docha Zatuma. Rabbi Yudayim Rav Docha Zatuma. What's the Svara? My time to Tanakama. What's the Svara? The Tanakama was that Pesach Sheni is not Docha Tuma. Omar Lecha, me play Tuma de Chisa, I understand. The reason that this gentleman who's bringing the carbon didn't bring his carbon pesach when everybody else is because he was tummy. So I'm not, Sebetuma? What are you telling me? He should bring the carbon pesach with Tuma. If the whole reason that he didn't bring the first pesach was bringing Batuma. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, why not? The reason that it's Dochatum is Omar Lacha. Look, it says Beferish, Omar Kro, it says Beferish Pesach Sheni. Right? Meaning Afil Batuma. Because the truth is that in the Pesach Rishon, if you had in a case of a carbon pesach which could be brought to where you had rove, so that means that otherwise it would be daicha tuma. So in a case where you have a miut who now wasn't daicha tuma, who we would prefer a Torah gazira, love the Torah, attempted to give him an opportunity lasot b'tahara, but it's still kol chukas pesach. And if now you have the rove of the tzibur now being tonei for the pesach sheni, so then we would bring it in lozacha. Okay, you're saying Torah gave me an opportunity. I wasn't saying to make use of this opportunity. It turned out again that we had a problem with tuma. So very good. So if that loizacha, yes, a tuma. It's better than being mevata the carbon pesach. So bring it betuma. Because after all, kukol kata pesach yasu hatum. Now the question over here is going back to the shaila that we had yesterday, the original suffix that Rabbi Elazar raised. If kohanim are mitchaper in the par chatas of Aaron, because they are lamaisa part of that, they're kavua in that par, or maybe they're only mischaper agav the kapora of Aaron, the Kohen Gadol. What exactly was Rabbi Elazar's problem? The typically, why doesn't he learn out that the kapora is through the Kohen Gadol? Because it says barachatat asher lo omrachmana 3 times in Parshas Machremo. The Torah repeats the din of asher lo to tell me that it's not mishal tzibur, it's not mishal lechavakohanim, it's dafka mishalo maybe, and we know that from the bright to the Tanya. Asher lo Mishalo mevi velo mishal tzibur. He has to bring from his own money, not from the tzibur's money. Yocho, you might think that that's tafka shalo yavi mishal tzibur. That's because ein tzibur mitzchaprim, but that's he shouldn't bring it from the whole tzibur of Yisrael. But certainly yavi mishal echav akonim, should collect the money from all of the konim, shari echav akonim mitzchaprim bo. Because after all, it says the vidui on the whole house of Aaron. Talmud lomar therefore repeats the pasuk asher lo. It's only his own. Yocho lo yavi. You might think that means okay, but he shouldn't be maybe, but he may be. But if Lamaisa he brings a par that belongs to all of the Kohanim, it would still be kosher. You could use that par for his kapara and the kapara to Kohanim. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Torah repeats yet again. Ashelo. Shonala vakatuv la'akev. The Torah now has repeated it. Tell me that the Mishalo who may be is li'ikuva. This is a rule in Kochim that if it's repeated, then it means it's ma'akev. So you see from here that the kapara of the other Kohanim can only be coming through, and it was a kapora agav of the kapora of the Kohen Gadol, because even if b'diavad he had brought the carbon from their own money, it wouldn't have been kosher. So that means it's a carbon yachid, and it would be Isa Tumura, and the other chavakonim were not considered to be owners in the Kohen, in the carbon. So what was Rebbe Loza's question? Answers the Gemara of Latamech, excuse me, but I mean, you're telling me that according to what you've just said, and you have to bring me Shalom, and nonetheless the others are Mischaper Agav, right? So, if Lamaisa, they don't have any kinyan in this animal at all, how is it possible to have a Kapor, even Agav, even Ikufya? If there's no ownership, Ella, what are you going to say? That Shiny Begaza, the Aaron, that the personal treasure house, so to speak, of Aaron, say the par, is that the Torah was afker rachmanigabi yachavakonim. Anyway, you're going to have to learn that the Torah basically gives over this element of Aaron's kapora into the hands of the other kohanim by giving them an actual type of bialus in the animal. So once you're saying that, so then you might as well go all the way and you could say hachinami. You could say by tumura, it would be the same thing. That even though the kohen gadol bought the money out of money that he took out of his wallet, that doesn't mean necessarily it's a korban yochid. We could say shani begaz of the Aaron, the afker rachman agavi hachakonim. Could be even the gabi this halacha, whether it's considered to be a korban yochid or not, that maybe the Torah gave it to Echav HaKohanim for Kapara, and that perhaps they are therefore Kavuim, and not Mikufia, in which case it would be considered a Korban HaShutim. It's a Korban HaShutim, you can't make Tumura. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar's Safek is a perfectly reasonable Safek. You can't simply answer it by the logic of the Asher Lo. We're now up to the Mishnah on Amid Beis, Zok the Halakha Mishnah. Now this is a continuation, of course, the continuing the Seder of the Avodah. So now the last thing we learned is that he was holding the Machta in his right hand, he was holding the Kaf in his left hand, and now he went in. So haya ma'alech b'hechal, ad shemagia levein shtei haporochot, ha'mabdilot ben ha'kodesh ben ha'kodesh ha'kodeshim. He would now go all the way up to the curtain, and there were two curtains with space in between them, that were mavdil, that separated between the kodesh and the kodesh ha'kodesh. We'll see how he manages to go through the two porochot later in detail. And b'neihem, there was a space between these two hanging porochots of one amah to which he could pray. Rabbi Yossi omer, it was only one porochet, and it was that he could go through. There was no, the thickness of that porochet, as we'll see, as Tosis explains, at least according to one shot, was an amma, but it was one porochet, not two separate porochot, because it says in the Torah, v'hivdilah ha-porochet l'chem ben ha-kodesh ben ha-kodesh kodeshim. It's beferish in the Torah. You can only have a porochet, a porochet. So the porochet is that which is ma'afim ben ha-kodesh kodeshim. Continues the Gemara. According to the Tadakana, what do they do with the fact that the Torah Lamaisa says otherwise? Rabbi Yossi's raya from the pasuk seems an excellent raya. How can they say that there were two porochot? This halacha of using a porochet is a din in the Mishkan. The Mikdash is actually supposed to have a wall. And the fact is that in the first Beit HaMikdash, indeed, there was a wall that was built in that location, which was an amathik, and it was that which took the place in the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Mikdash, meaning the Mikdash Rishon, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodesh. We are not trying to replace the original Parochet. We're trying to replace the Amatraksim. Now, that Amatraksim, the Mikdash Rishon Hudavoy, we were only able to have the traksin in the Mikdash Rishon because it was only 30 amot high, which was the height of the Hekel in the first Bayit, and therefore it could stand, a wall of 30 amot height could stand if it was one amot thick. Mashenken in the Bayit Sheni, the Hekel had been raised to 40 amot, of course not including second stories and so on, but just the area that would have to be covered with the traksin. A kotel of one amma will not stand at a height of 40, and there's no ways to make it wider because you're not allowed to change the midos of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, what the only thing we could do is we could have something that could stand, because it was much lighter, which was a porochet, and this porochet would take the place of the tracks. And therefore, it's not fair, said Rabbanan, to analyze from the din of the Mishkan, and the porochets of the Mishkan, where it was indeed one porochet, and it was not attempting to take the place of an amma of tracks, which seems because we had a suffix about what that din of that area was. And therefore, we couldn't use a porochet anyway, really, the same way we did in the Mishkan. Because we had a problem in that istapiklo rabbona begrushate, rabbona or misupak, that ama itself, where did it belong? In other words, what kedusha did it have? Ikelefnim, ikelefutz. Was the kedusha of that ama the equivalent of the kedusha of the kodesh hakadoshim gelefnim? In which case, if I was only using a single parochet, I would have to put it in front of that area, closer to the door, the entrance of the hechel, because after all that area was kodesh with the kedusha of the kodesh hakadosh. Or, okelefutz, was that area kodesh like the Kedusha of the Hecha, in which case the Parochet would have belonged at the end. And because of that, Avushte Parochet. Therefore, what they did is they made a Parochet at the beginning of that area, in case it belonged to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they put a Parochet at the end of that area, in case it belonged, the Amah itself belonged to the Kodesh. And that way they were Yotzi, their Suffolk. That has nothing to do with the single Parochet where we knew where that was. That was Mavdil Ben HaKodesh Ben HaKodesh Kadoshim. Indeed, there only is one that's Mavdil Ben HaKodesh. It's just, we don't know which one it is, but there certainly is just one. Anyway, Tan Rabbanan. In the Braisa, it seems clear that the Kohen Gadol, where he was walking, it says there, Tanur Rabbanan, Bein HaMizbeach LaMenorah, Haya Mahalech, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the place the Kohen Gadol would walk was between the Mizbeach HaZahav and the menorah, which was on the south side. And in that area, on his way to the curtain, in that area between the Mizbeach and the Tzad Darom of the menorah is where the Kohen Gadol would find his way. Does the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says, no, no, no. It was on the northern side, Ben HaShulchan, which was Tzafayt, Ben HaShulchan LaMizbeach and the Mizbeach HaZahav. That's where he used to walk. V'yesh Omrim, Ben Shulchan LaKotel, that he used to walk in the small space between the Shulchan and the wall, because there needed to be anyway space between the wall and the Shulchan for the Kohanim to stand when they were switching the Seder of the Lechem Upanim HaShem. Man Yesh Omrim, who is the Yesh Omrim, had say that he walked along the wall, but the southern, the northern wall, on Rav Chista, Rabbi Yossi. That's going to leave it Rabbi Yossi, who holds, as we'll see, the Omar Pitcha, the opening between the Parochet and the wall of the Hecha was on the north side, in which case he needed to walk along the northern wall in order to get to the opening of the Parochet that was pulled back from the wall on the northern side, and then he could walk into the space between the two Parochot. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Lecha, Shepitcha Bedorom Koi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Petach was on the southern side, so according to him, he would walk first into the opening on the southern side, because Rabbi Yehuda also were two Parochot, and therefore he would walk along in the middle to get to the opening of the inner Parochot. For Rabbi Meir, so you're leaving Rabbi Meir blank. He holds you walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach on the Tzad Safon. What would explain that? Who does he hold of in the previous Machlokes about where the opening was to the Parochot? If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's sphere lay that the Petach was on the southern side, then what in the world is the Kohen doing on the northern side? Let him go, Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi Yehuda claims he would go, namely along the southern side, between the menorah and the Mizbeach. Vik Rabbi Yossi sphere holds that the Petach was on the northern side. So Neil Rabbi Yossi, why doesn't he agree that you go along now the northern side to hold, because Yitzchak B'tzaf and Kohen? Answers the Gemara, Le'olam Rabbi Yossi sphere. Look, obviously Rabbi Meir holds that the Petach is B'tzafon, otherwise there's no explanation at all what he's doing between the Mizbeach HaZav and the Shulchan. But nonetheless, Rabbi Meir says you cannot walk along the actual wall. Why? Shulchanot Safon V'Dorom Munachim. According to him, the Shulchanot were not running east-west and with room between them and the wall for the Kohanim to get there. On the contrary, the Shulchanot were running north-south, and they were up against the wall, and the Kohanim would stand on either side, meaning east-west, on a Shulchan that was running north-south. And that way, you had no possible place to pass between the Shulchanot. So there, the Mavskele Shulchan, if he tries to walk along that wall, all that's going to happen is he's going to bump into the Shulchanot. With only Mitayel, there'll be no way for him to reach the Tzad Safon of the opening of the Parochet. Therefore, what he should do is he should walk between the Shulchanot and the Mizbeach, which enables him at least to get towards the northern side where the opening would be. Vibaytema, there's another possibility for Rabbi Meir Lielom. Maybe Rabbi Meir agrees the Shulchanot are indeed arranged from east to west, Mizrach u'Ma'arav Munachim, and you could physically fit between the Shulchan and the wall. Nonetheless, you don't walk that way. Why? Mishum Shechina lav urach ala lamala lahadya. It doesn't seem proper derecheret to walk as you're facing the door itself. If you're facing along the wall, then you're mamish facing the opening completely. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was only one parochet. He holds like Rabbi Yossi, in which case he would be walking facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is not Tnias. So it makes more sense, as Rabbi Meir. Indeed, he wants to get towards the northern side, but don't walk along the wall which faces the entrance. And Rabbi Yossi, who holds that he did. It's not the whole point. Klal Yisrael indeed has direct access with Lifnei V'Lifnei. Did anybody need someone to pray for him? We all speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And if we speak to him directly, then we can walk along the wall that faces him directly. For Rabbi Yehuda and Ami, asked the Gemara, what about according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that he walks on the south side? I mean, so why doesn't he walk Alibet Rabbi Yehuda on the south side, being along the south wall, being Menorah Lakotel? Why can't he walk along the wall itself? Answers the Gemara, a very prosaic reason. Because Meshachrim Mane. Since the Menorah was near the wall had soot on it. If he walked along that way, he would get his beautiful wife and garden. Oh, sooty. See you tomorrow. Regards from Finland.